Hey, fabulous listeners, bam! Get ready to spice up your day with another episode of Shut Up, Chanel. Today, we're diving into the world of drag royalty with none other than Alexis Mateo because the jig is not motherfucking up. Now, let me take you back to how our paths first crossed. Alexis and I met in 2010, over a decade ago, which is insane. On the set of Drag Race, and it feels like it's been forever since we've been able to sit down and catch up. Hailing from Puerto Rico, she burst onto the scene of season 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race and continued to slay on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. From her fierce performances on stage to her larger-than-life personality, Alexis embodies everything drag royalty should be. With her infectious energy and undeniable charisma, she's a force to be reckoned with. And there's so much that I don't know about her that I'm hoping to uncover today. So grab your favorite beverage, strike a pose, and get ready for a fabulous catch up with Alexis Mateo, where every moment is a celebration of drag excellence. This is one episode of Shut Up, Chanel you won't want to miss.
Shut up, Chanel. Shut up, Chanel.
Yeah, you know what? I always refer to season 3 as the beginning of everything because I always feel like number 1 was a pilot and number 2 was a tryout to try to figure out
the formula.
Season 3 was the recipe, bitch. Mm-hmm. It was until right now, I feel like sometimes I watch the casting specials and the Meet the Queens and things like that for every season. And I see the reference of season 3 cast in each one of the girls. It's always a pageant girl. It's always a comedy girl. It's always an Asian girl. It's always, you know, like, it's always somebody started doing drag that is a great performer, just like Changela. And somebody has been in the business for a long time and is a diva. You know, like, I see the recipe from season 3 from that get-go, and it's like incredible to me because I can see reference of all of us in there. And season 3 was the first time that we met Michelle Visage.
And that's so, this is so crazy. Like, season 3 changed my whole life. Yeah, I totally forgot that was the reveal.
Yeah.
Michelle Visage.
Michelle Visage, no more Santino. Michelle Visage.
No more Merle.
No more. Like, it was a lot of introduction.
There was Santino in the beginning. I think, Michelle replaced Merle.
Yeah, and it was, who else was in there? Oh, we were the first one with
Billy B. Oh, and Billy B. makeup was there. Yes. Had a makeup artist. They should have a makeup artist again.
Always, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, first commercial, like a professional commercial. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, the Perks Absolute commercial.
We have a promo done. It was a dean for it. It was literally the beginning of the rest of the entire franchise. And it was
God.
Crazy.
I'll never forget.
I'll
never forget the day because Hector was doing hair. And I just remember this loud, because I had like the beginning of the season, the end of season 2 was like, I never heard any like loud women in the makeup chair. And then I was like in the crafty room and I just heard this loud New Jersey laugh. And I was like, is that me? Like,
who is that?
I remember being like, who the fuck is this? And she's like, who the fuck are you? And it was just like the start of me being obsessed with her. I love that so much. I totally forgot that. Right. And how crazy is it that you and Yara are still together in Vegas after all these years?
You know what? We don't see each other so much because we always so busy. But when we catch up, bitch, it's over. It's over. It's over. And with Yara, you always feel like we never stop talking for a little while, you know what I mean? Like, she walks in, she doesn't say hello to me or nothing. She's like, girl, like, she starts talking like
just
normal.
Right.
But you know what? Honestly, I feel like, I never said this, but I'm going to say it here because it's you. I feel like All Stars 1 kind of ruined our friendship.
Okay. Why?
Yeah. When we did All Stars 1, the format, I don't think we were ready for the format or the elimination process. A lot of like social media was involved with Jada pressing the button and blaming who was the fault of what. And I think we kind of like took a break from each other, you know, to concentrate in each other. So we didn't see anymore as a team or Jalexis or things like that, because kind of like it became the Alexis and Jada show. You know, anytime the Alexis was booked somewhere, Jada was booked too. So it was kind of difficult for us to separate the friendship from the TV screen. So, and honestly, we're great friends, but we're not together 24 hours. You know what I mean? Like, so it was for me, that was a moment when
It
kind of
felt
like,
forced. It felt forced.
yes, it felt forced. So we kind of like took back a second, breathing, and kind of like focus in our own self, you know. So when All Stars 5 was happening, I asked the producer if Jada was gonna be there, because honestly, I kind of wanted a chance without saying, oh, Alexis is carrying Jada or Jada is carrying Alexis, you know. I kind of wanted like a fair chance, and
Yeah, you wanted to shine on your own.
yeah, and it was nothing. People was like, oh my God, that was so selfish, Alexis. And I was like, it is. But sometimes I have to do it, because you
You
know,
have to be selfish because you
I
don't
don't
want to
want to
resent her.
do,
You don't want to resent her anymore,
I
you
just
know?
don't want to be, I don't want to find myself in the situation of the lip sync again. I think that one for me was mentally challenged, girl. Like letting Jada go was like worse, especially because I really wanted to go home that day. I was so tired. I was constipated, remember? I was so constipated. I just wanted to go home.
Imagine
I
if I
wanted to sit
remember
down and
that.
shit.
Imagine. I don't remember you were constipated,
Yes,
but.
I said it every day. I was like, we need a day off because I need to clean myself. It was very bad.
No, towards
Yeah,
the end,
Puerto
it's like boot
Loco.
camp. No, towards the end of it's like boot camp. And it's like towards the end of it, like I just remember, like, you're just run down. Like you're just,
Right.
I felt like I was clammy all the time. Like, you
Yes.
know, no sleep. By the end of like that, those 8 weeks or however long it was, I feel like it was only a month and a half, but you're working every day. That's why when I always say like, oh, I saved up that summer. Like really, it was just like a month and a half of my life, but it
Right.
seems like a year because you're going there every day for like 17 hours.
Right. And this is the season when we took the break on filming, remember? So the month and a half became 2 months and a half for no fucking reason.
I
I was like,
know.
why am back home after episode 3 to come back a month later for episode 4? Oh,
Was a
the
lot. It was a lot.
mess.
It was a lot, but it was
Yeah.
so fucking fun.
I
So
love that. I thought it was incredible. I think that even when I finished watching it now, I'm like, oh my God, it's so many iconic moments and things that happened that we didn't even plan it, that are like memorable and things like that. Honestly, the BAM, for example, that BAM, that was never planned. I remember doing the challenge. We had 2 minutes each
I
other to
remember that.
film.
I remember watching you.
Yeah.
This was the day that I was like, oh, Alexis is funny, because I knew that you were this like
Right.
fierce pageant queen that could like dance. But that was like the first day that I saw you like
Being just
really
a little
start
loose.
feeling, yeah, start letting
Yeah.
loose. That was the beginning of
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, it was very that, and I was like
Take me to
freaking
that
out.
moment.
Oh girl, but it was 2 minutes to do the challenge. I nailed my challenge in the first minute, and then RuPaul said, well, you got 1 more minute. So do whatever you want to. So I was, fuck it, I'm gonna do everything. And I remember the pit crew keep throwing things at me, and I remember I cast the freaking shorty, so because I used to call it that, the sausage. She's like, I grabbed it and I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do with this? Like, so I started saying bad random shit. And I remember, like, okay, every time that I was feeling ugly in drag, because it happens a lot, I used to say in my head, BAM, you know, it means beautiful Alexis Mateo. That's what the three letters mean. So I feel like it was like a,
I
yes, like it was a mental thing since I started doing drag to feel, it was like a push to feel secure. So I keep saying it, you know, in my head to kind of pump myself up before going on stage. But I was already there, that I did what I needed to do in the assignment. But it was a moment when I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling lost. So I started saying bam for no reason. And that, like, it was the first time I said it loud, not in my head. And I was like, well, RuPaul like it. I'm going just gonna continue saying it.
Yeah, she started giving one of her like heckle laughs, and you were like, okay. Yeah. And then you just kept
I'm
going
in,
with it.
And I'm I keep saying in. Shit. Like, it didn't make any sense. Sometimes I record, I'm like, what the fuck sickening no means? Like, did I'm actually asking myself if I'm sickening no? Like it was very bad. But
or the
course,
jig is up.
Like,
the jig is
like,
up. I think that started with Raja, right? Because every time Raja would win a challenge, you would be like, the jig is up.
Yeah,
crown
like,
her. Might as well crown her.
We know where we're going. We know where we're going. It was like, Roger could have done nothing wrong. And I was like, how did it? Like, I was looking at Roger. I was like, I know they're not saying her makeup is beautiful. That is. We were all like that. We're like,
no, Raja was
stop
a popular.
It.
Raja was that popular girl in high school that you like.
Yeah.
That could do nothing wrong, and every guy still wanted to fuck her. It's the same vibe, because that's what I got. I remember being on set, and it really was like high school, and it was like, oh, Raja's the cool girl. Like when I, you know, like if yeah, yep,
if
that
you're
was
friends
the vibe.
With Raja, you are in the mean girl group with the popular girls, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, you just a booger, you know. Like it was very that. It was high school.
It was high school. It was high school 101.
Yeah, it was very that, and it was. I honestly felt like it was funny, because even though it looks like we were mad at each other and all that, I don't remember being angry with them backstage or nothing like
that.
And I
it
don't think
camp.
honestly,
I look at it as like camp. It was like
and Carmen used to call us boogers, you know, and things like that. And we never felt anger towards Carmen, because we knew she was just playing, you know. So it was, yeah, it was very bad, girl. It was like, but it was an awesome story to me. Into today, we just call each other Heathers and Boogers. So
I fucking love it. Stacey Lynn Matthews, the honorary Heather.
Bitch, bye. I remember after the reunion, I told Stacey, how fucking dare you accepted that necklace? I was very over it. And I remember I had pneumonia that day. They had to stop a lot for me.
Oh, I totally forgot that. You were sick at the reunion.
Yeah, oh my God.
Oh my God. We did so much. And like that was like, and after the show, there was really like no other queens. Like there was like season one girls, season two girls, and you. I remember we all stayed so in touch with each other. You guys were the only people I talked to at that point in my life, because I had put myself in this world where I was like filming for months at a time with you guys. And so I stopped hanging out with my LA party friends after set. Right. I didn't want to go to the straight club anymore. Like I wanted to go to the, I was,
yeah, you discovered something new.
Well, I was around drag all day. I was like, I had nothing to talk about straight people with anymore. Like I want to go to the gay bar, you know? And then I'll never forget. We had that Facebook group that we would all talk in, and I was like the only girl in it. I remember feeling like the coolest girl in the world. We
but
did.
It was awesome because we used to go, like every time there was something in LA,
we
call you.
We
were like, see you there, girl. Like, is it the premiere or a red carpet or something? Chanel is the one. She was going to pick us up. You know, like it was very that. Like it was literally the designated driver, Chanel.
Yes, I would pick you guys up. I would set like a meeting place because there was nothing
I loved
like
it.
Logo was in New York. So like there was no one in LA like planning stuff for everyone. And everyone wanted, we didn't have social media to connect with each other on. So it was like we wanted to be around each other, you know?
It was.
Oh my God, we did all the truces together. And then so then life was good. 2018, you broke up with your boyfriend and life got hard.
Right. It was weird. After All Stars 1, it was weird because I kind of like stopped traveling. I met the guy. We got into a relationship real fast, like every gay person would do.
two like wore matching outfits. You were in love.
Oh, very bad. And it was, the first 2 years were fine. Then after that, it became very toxic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was abusive. Push, a push became a slap. A slap became a punch. It was moments where it was knives involved and things like that. So I kind of like always say, you know, to myself, because I didn't want to admit it, you know, that I was in that situation. And I was also embarrassed about the choices I had made. Not that I regret them, I was just embarrassed about it. And then in 2018, when finally I got out of the relationship.
Congratulations. Yeah, I feel it like it's not easy when it gets to that.
It was, I'm going to be honest, it was not my decision to get out of the relationship. He cheated on one of my friends, you know, in my house.
What?
So I used that as an escape. As a, you know, as an excuse to escape the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember not knowing what was going to happen to my life, because I came to a booking in Vegas and a bar offered me a contract, but I needed to move in like a matter of days to start. And I didn't want to, because I was so comfortable in Florida. So I didn't know. So when I went back home, I remember the next day I got a meeting at work, and they told us that our Hamburger Mayor's in Tampa was going to close the same exact day of the offer in Vegas was done. So I was like, I closed my eyes. I said, if you don't get this as a signal of life, I literally packed everything and hit it and moved to Vegas. And that was it. Like, I think Vegas was a fresh start for me. And as soon as I got to Vegas, I literally had everything on a storage and bringing boxes to my place when I got the call for All Stars 5. So I was like, oh, it's meant to be. You know, sometimes you have to be it's the right moment, the right place. And
it
I
all
went for
started
it
to line up. I can't believe you're back with. And so you're back with Coco Montrese in Vegas.
We're back with Coco Montrese. And but you know what? Drag Race Life was starting, and it was so many of the other girls here. So I was so excited about that too.
Yeah.
Because I was not the, like, felt like I had something in common. Something about, you know this, something about doing Drag Race, anybody from the cast and the crew, you kind of build a special connection with that person, because it's a common bond in between all of you, and it's so many secrets and so many things that were done that were not the way that it were done, or the edit this way and this like that. So you kind of create a bond, a special bond with somebody that is involved with Drag Race, period. And to see somebody like Jada was here, India was here, Chanel, Coco, like so many Drag Race girls were here, including Chandra was at this time here. Banji was here on her like RuPaul's Drag Race Live thing. So I didn't fail.
I felt like home. You felt like you were in Florida.
Yeah.
But like a fresh start.
Yeah, like a fresh place. Yeah, it was like a stop and rewind and start over. And it was cool. And I loved it. And Vegas opened so many doors for me. And one of my biggest dreams in life was to be a house owner. So to become a house owner last year here in Vegas, I was like, yes, I love this. This is the right place. I was very that. So yeah, incredible, but super, super exciting. And okay, people don't believe this, but shit like this, like being a house owner in the United States, doesn't happen to a Puerto Rican boy. Just period. We struggle so much, especially if your family is not in the United States. Because sometimes, you know, when you're a Latino immigrant or something like that, your family is already here. So they're established. You grow up established. But for me, it wasn't.
No, this is the American dream.
For me, switching Spanish to English at 22 was horrible, but necessary. Switching my traditions and my family and leaving my home and everything behind was hard. It still is. Like I always tell my mom, this was the hardest thing ever, and my mom was like, you are literally the only one in the family that we're proud of. Like, my mom always said, you're a celebrity. You have been in Hollywood. You're the only one that has been in Hollywood. You're the only one that has a house. You're the only one that has a Mercedes Benz. She's like, she's so proud of all this shit. Like, yes, but, you know, I still don't see those things as, you know, part of my success, because I still remember how hard it was. You know what I mean? It was like, it's just weird, but yeah. But Vegas was a fresh start, and I loved it. Yeah, every moment of it.
Yeah, proud of you. How proud is your mom of you now? And I think that's so sweet. I think it is when you've had to struggle and start from the bottom, like you always remember the bottom. So you forget where you are. Like I do the same thing with my family. My mom's like, I'm like, you know, when I'm like hard on myself for not like living life like normal cis 37 year old woman lives. She's like, Chanel, like you've done so much more than like most people ever will achieve. And like, and it's really important to be proud of
honestly, yourself. Like with you, like, okay, this shit don't happen to everybody. You don't, your circle of drag queens friends are not super mega stars in the world. Like that is something that you had nothing in common with any other normal girl, you know, like that's just you. Your experience, the way you see fashion, because I know, like I remember us backstage telling you, girl, wear that dress this way, or like, girl, you need to do your hair like this. You know, like all
no,
that
you were
stuff.
My drag mothers. You like, really, you like, really shaped me into the woman I am today.
And I always think about it, like I'm like, if you were a real girl, you don't have this. You know, like, so you're not normal for us. You're not normal. We consider you literally another one of the girls. You know, sometimes we're like, we love about, like, laugh about it. We're like, oh, we forgot that Chanel is a girl.
Yeah.
And we're like, we forgot that you're a real girl. You're like, especially when it's like time to pee and we all can get up and just pee somewhere in bushes and you're like, I cannot do that. But you know, like
for a while I forgot I wasn't a drag queen, that's for goddamn sure.
But it was it sometimes we forget, like
we forget where we came from, we do is remember where we came from. We forget where we're at now.
Yeah, my mom tells me all the time, you're not normal. Like, sometimes I go like, I would love to date again. I would love to have a boyfriend. And my mom was like, you're not normal. It's going to be difficult for you. Not only you are older, you're successful. It could be intimidating for boys, but you also, and the spotlight, not everybody likes that. You know, she goes over and over the things with me. And I go like, okay, I'm going to stay single. Fuck it. But she always remind me, like, because she comes and visits me sometimes in Vegas. One time she came here.
Of that.
Banji came over. So many of the Drag Race girls were here. They met my mom and everything. They hung out with my mom. Todrick Hall was around. So he met my, you know, like everybody. And then I came back and it was a normal night. But my mom was like, oh my God, Todrick Hall. Like, she was like, and then, so I don't realize those things, you know, like, okay.
Yeah,
so
we forgot.
My normal life is not natural.
No, and like younger Alexis in Puerto Rico would be so proud. Like how you have the BAM to remind yourself. And I think that that's so beautiful that I never knew what BAM stood for. And that it's a way to control your intrusive thoughts. Because I do that now. Every time that other voice comes in now, because it happens every day, multiple times a day. I like try to check her. Like, no, we're not doing that narrative anymore. Like I'll like talk like she's in the room. Because like I'm trying to like teach that other voice, like you can't.
You have to do it.
You have to talk to your inner self. But I think, but it's also important for us to talk to that little version of ourselves that would be so proud of how far we've come.
Oh my God, yeah. You know, every time that now that they have those finale lives and stuff like that, I remember the after. I think it was like what, season 6 or 8 or something like that. Mm-hmm. They started bringing the picture of you when you were little, and you needed to talk to it. I was like, oh my God, thank God they didn't do this to mine. Because I would have, first of all, would have cried the entire time and probably will speak to the little boy in Spanish the entire time because I wanted him to understand exactly what I was feeling. But it was very that. And I think it was like, yeah, I cry every time that they do it. I cry with everybody. So I'm like, oh yeah, this is awesome.
It's a therapy technique for sure. Like I put up this, I put up like in my get ready mirror, I have like a baby picture of myself because that like that's the mirror where like I feel like the inner critic comes in because that's where you're like staring yourself doing your makeup. So it just like reminds me because every time I want to talk shit to myself, I'm like, that's also you're talking shit to that little girl. And that little girl would never doesn't deserve that.
Yeah, because we were not insecure back then. When we were little, we were everything.
Trauma, it's before the trauma, you know.
So good. So good. And it's important. You know what? Like also Latino people. We, okay, because we use I love you so much loosely in America that when I remember back in the day and until today, for Latinos, it's so difficult to say te amo. that is I love you, but it's like we don't say that ever. Some people die in the Latino culture without saying I love you. And I feel like it's so difficult. So for me, like, I'm starting to say I love you in Spanish, like
Oh,
to my mom
God.
and to myself in the mirror and things like that, because it's so difficult. I don't know why. It's so scary to say that to somebody in Spanish. Like, I say to all my sisters, hey, girl, I love you. See you tomorrow. Like, I say it in English.
But te
You know what I mean?
amo. Te amo
It's
gets
the
you.
same, but yeah, it doesn't mean the same to me. It's not even that powerful either. Like, it's so crazy to me. And I always remind everybody about that. I'm like, girl, that is, I don't know why we go through this. Because when we're little, we say that to everybody. Then you grow up and then you stop. Yeah, it's crazy to me, but it's a Latino thing, and I have to do it to continue being, you know, fresh. Especially because, you know, my mom. Okay, so my mom separated my dad when I was six.
Okay.
Religion and bullshit happened. My dad was Pentecostal, my mom was Catholic. So,
Oh,
it was a lot
fuck.
of yeah, it was
That's
a
a
lot of
lot.
division. My dad became a preacher. They separated and things like that. I stayed with my mom. My mom was a working class person because she has to be the dad now. My sister was sent to who knows where because she was a lesbian. So I remember spending a lot of time alone from my sixth birthday to my 15th birthday. I was always alone. And the only times that I was with somebody was with my mom at night. And she used to help me teach me how to sew. Or teach me how to decorate something. It things that she used to do, because she used to work in a fabric store, of course. So
I mean,
everything
your
that
mom
she,
just keeps getting better and better.
yeah, she literally got a job in a fabric store, and she used to bring like crafts and to do for her job the next day. But I used to help her, you know. And she started helping me with teaching me hair. So every time that she was doing a wedding or something, I was doing hair for the bridesmaids, or you know, I was helping with something in that area because of my mom. So now, okay, let me tell you, now we're suffering with dementia, you know.
Your
My
mom?
mom, yeah, my mom is advanced in the situation. So sometimes I think it's funny because I have a lot of patients, my sister doesn't, but I if she forgets my name or who I am or things like that, I got a lot of patience on it. And if she says something crazy, I follow, you know? I
You
keep
go
doing
with
the story.
it.
I'm like, God, this is awesome. Like
I
the
love
other day,
that.
she didn't know who my sister was, but my sister was cooking breakfast, and she was like, who's that downstairs? I was like, where? Like, I was like, very active.
You're
And
into it?
it's improv with my mom, baby. It's improv classes.
I
And
love
she's
that.
like, it's that girl downstairs talking to a lot of men. I was like, and it was my sister talking on the speakerphone. That was it. But it was just the funniest thing. And sometimes she catch up. I continue talking, and she goes like, "Who are you talking about?" I'm like, "The lady downstairs." And she's like, "That's your sister, dumbass." Like she catch up, but like we're suffering with that. But
is she living with you yet?
No, she's still in Puerto Rico. She travels a lot with my sister. My sister bring her back and forth. Oh, I go there.
So your sister's with her.
Yeah,
in Puerto Rico. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a caretaking's a lot, but that
yeah.
is so. It's so
yeah.
beautiful that you're able to find the patience in
yeah,
it.
But you know why? Like, those are important moments in my life, and I get depressed sometimes and cry because I go like, oh my God, the best moments with my mom, she's forgetting them. You know what I mean? But then I have to realize it's time for me to keep them because it was for me.
Keep
those
them,
moments
and
were
this
for
is
me.
This is a new chapter now. This is you
so,
being there for her
yeah.
at the end of her
Yeah,
life.
and it is crazy. So we have been dealing with that. But never forget about all the things she always said. And she cash out quickly. She still thinks sometimes I'm in Orlando, but I'm like, no, Mom, I'm Vegas now, remember? But it's very nice. But it was a lot of things that I never thought I was gonna do in my life, like be a headliner in Las Vegas. So, in November for Thanksgiving, she came to visit me, and she got to see me perform at Drag Race Live. It was a big deal for her, you know. I even hired a photographer
to
take
these
all
are
the
moments.
Memories.
No,
like, I
these
was
are
like,
moments.
I want it.
These are
So,
moments
yeah.
that you want to remember.
Yeah.
And to just remember the way you're looking at it is so positive, because it's
right.
like, through, I took care of my dad as he was dying of cancer, almost 2 years ago. And I just kept telling myself, like, stay present, like, stop thinking about the future, stop thinking about the past. Like, all you have are these moments right now. And when you look back on it, you're going to know that you just enjoyed every moment that you got with him, you know? Right.
I think it has to be.
You can
be
go
a
to
point.
A dark place. You can go to
yeah.
like, it's
oh
easy.
My God. Easy.
It's easy to go to
and
a dark place.
You can actually get so angry with life, period. Like,
mm-hmm.
But I actually think that it's not. Every time I think I get sad or something, I always remind myself, this is a natural stage.
This is
in
life.
Anybody's life.
This is life.
You know,
our parents raise us, and then a lot of times we have to raise them at the end, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's literally like they come back to be a little person, a little baby. So, like, it's natural. Every time I look at it, I'm like, it's natural. The other day, we were laughing because my mom put hairspray in her back. Let's not say where. And we were like, why would you do that? Like, it's funny. But, you know, I laugh about it. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait. I tell my sister, I can't wait until you are this crazy for getting person. I like she hates it. But we joke about it and everything. It's a serious situation, but you have to think it's natural
and you have to find the beauty in it. And it's such a dark thing to say, but I kept telling myself that, like, find the beauty in these moments rather than look at them as sad, because there were so many moments where I could have just crumbled and been like, this is too much for me. Like, I don't want to be around it. But I just, like, kept telling myself, like, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Beautiful.
Right.
Bam. You know, I just had to keep bamming myself.
Bam. Yeah.
And tell myself, like, this is nothing's forever. The only, like, the only constant, like, you know what I mean? Like, these are the only moments I have. And even if, like, they're the shittiest, like, it's not forever. Like, even this moment's fleeting, you know? And I even try to do that now whenever I cry over something or, like, it's just a reminder of how much we love them. You know what
that
I mean?
Crazy. And you know what the craziest part of all this is? That my mom sees me and sometimes she forget I'm her son or my name or something.
So crazy.
And she forgot that I got a toupee on, girl. She always think that I have this much hair.
What?
Like,
that's
oh my God,
not,
you
that's
have
not
so
your
much
hair?
And I don't know, girl, you know I was funny. And then, like, one funny thing about it is that she had never forget who I am in drag. That is the weirdest thing.
Wow. That's
in
so
drag,
beautiful.
In drag, she knows she's Mama Mateo. She knows who I am. Like, she knows everything. Like, she knows the show. She knows placements. She knows everybody. She knows Jada by name. She knows Manella. She knows Changela. Like, she remembered all that. She doesn't remember a lot of our birthdays and shit. I think it's on purpose.
Yeah, but, I thought of stuff she didn't want to remember.
But, like, Mom, you don't remember today was my birthday, but you remember I was in season 3 of Drag Race? Like, nobody remembers that. Like, that's crazy to me. But it's very
so beautiful.
So, I think that, like, it always reminds me that, like, I think that drag did such a big impact on her life that it's difficult for her to erase that part. So, yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting.
We're getting older, man. Like,
not me. I'm getting younger, you know.
Come
as
on.
Long as it's plastic surgery, we will be always younger.
I think we both look younger.
Yeah.
Then when
for
we
real.
First met.
Then when we started for real. That is for sure. Oh my God, that is the best.
So what's next for you? So you're in this new chapter of your life. You're taking care of your mom. You're in Vegas.
Right.
You're single. What's next for Alexis Mateo?
I want to have a lot of sex.
You want to have a lot of sex? Me too.
I want to.
Me too.
I honestly, if you're watching this, everybody, not wait until you're older to explore sex. Sex is beautiful. Sex is amazing. Have it. Relationships are great, but bitch, have sex, because then you're going to get to an age where everything is more difficult. So have it now. But honestly, I grew up thinking that sex was such a bad thing. Then combining the sex bad is bad with being gay is horrible. You're going to hell situation. I kind of, like, restricted myself from that. And I think it was, like, it's a beautiful thing to just enjoy yourself and explore sex. So I am going to enjoy sex as much as I can. Then I'm in Vegas.
No,
I'm
shame. No fucking shame.
Right.
There's shame. And I find it as like being a woman, there's such a stigma. And I never held myself back. The second I could, the second guys start in wanting it, I started giving it. And and I always felt this. And I remember being a sexual little girl. Like I just always been horny. I've always been horny, like always, like from my first memories, I remember being horny. And so like, but there's always this stigma around like women and sex. And then you have sex with like guys and they love to slut shame. I just dealt with a situation recently where like I felt slut shamed at 37 fucking years old for having
independent.
Sex. Independent, women. Having sex with two guy friends years apart from each other. And like one of the guys tried to shame me on it. Like, well, you should have thought about that before. I shouldn't have thought about anything. Like I'm allowed to have sex with
the only mistake you did was to not have them together. That was the only mistake. Let's just get clear on that.
Or having sex with like a loser who thought that they could shame me for liking sex. You know what I mean? Right. Yes. This is my PSA for everyone to be safe, but like women, don't ever shame yourself for having sex. And gay men, stop shaming yourself for loving sex. Right. If you are, I mean, most of my guy friends don't shame themselves, but I guess that's something that you dealt with.
But you also have to be so comfortable with yourself being gay. You have to, cause you know, it's not just being gay. Now we have separation in our own gay community between the boys. Now if you are a bear, if you're a wolf, if you're a panda, if you're like, it's so many animals. I don't even know why I have to be an animal. Like, honestly, I didn't know it was that complicated. Like, I mean, what is a bear means that I have to grow hair in the back of my, I don't know. Cause I'm not, you know, I'm not hairy. And I'm not that big, but I'm not that skinny. Like, I don't know. It's just too complicated. But
it's very complicated. And if you're listening to this and want to have sex with Alexis Mateo, slide into the DM. Slide into the DM.
It's going to happen. And it's going to be...
and like she lives in Vegas. I mean, you'll get tickets to the show. Like,
honestly, Vegas has taught me so much about my sexuality.
Oh, good.
Literally the West Coast. When I moved here, I realized East Coast and Florida, especially Florida, are so far behind from the real world.
It's the fucking real Florida, progress. Yeah.
Like I have
it's repression.
Traveled the entire world, like London, UK, Japan, everywhere I go, Brazil, everybody's so open, so sexual, so free to love who they are. No labels. Like it's so weird. And then I moved to Las Vegas and then I realized, okay, so everything that I thought it was bad, it was okay to me. You know, some of my best friends were escorts, you know, so I always thought that was like prostitution. Then I saw it as a job. Then I really understand where they're coming from. Like it's so many open-minded moments when I got one of my lesbian friends the other day, was attracted to a guy. And like, I was like, okay, so this is, it's okay. It's okay to be attracted to the guy.
Just go like, do it. Like who
like,
cares?
I was it's so many things. And then I realized that it's because the world is changing on the new generation, like between the pronouns that we all make fun of because we have so many now. But the new generation is actually growing up in a world where I feel like I wish I would have grown up, you know, like
it's all fluid, baby. It's very fluid.
Like I remember how scared I was to feel gay on my prom. And now I see so many of these kids come to my house. They're like, oh my God, I want a dress to go to my prom. Can you make it for me? Like, can you do my makeup? Like, I was like, oh my God, are they going to allow you in school? Because I still have, you know, like those questions are like, oh yeah, we are good. And it's like,
it was just
so
very
free.
Black and white. It was black and white when we grew up. And it was like, you were either And if you were gay, and that's why, like, I never got to explore my sexuality early on because I knew I wasn't a lesbian because I liked guys. Right. Bisexuality was like a term that like no one was really bi when I was in high school. Like you were gay or you weren't. And there was this thing, like I knew I wanted to like be in a relationship with guys, but like I was still attracted to like women too. So it was just like confusing. Right. And there was no terminology for it. I didn't know what the word fluid fucking meant, that like, you know, that you could be more than one thing. Until 2 years ago, my life was very black and white. And I think that's what you're saying is like the veil kind of got lifted. And it's
like, I was like, wow, this is awesome.
It's awesome. Love that. Oh my God.
Like I was like, cause everything that I grew up thinking that it was bad is normal.
It's normal.
But you know, also this is when the case of visibility is so important. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because if it happens to me, if I have opened so many, you know, bridges in my adult life, mm-hmm. imagine what visibility is going to do for so many younger people. And this is why I come back to do seasons of Drag Race. This is why I want people to see, you know, as a Latino little boy like me, which a five when I realized that something was not normal on me, I could have turned on the TV and see somebody look like me or at least be familiar with what the feelings I was feeling. I probably would have actually grown up more confident and mm-hmm. probably the world would have been so incredible to me because I thought I was a genius when I was little. I think I kind of restricted myself growing mm-hmm. up, you know? So I think it's going to be an incredible future just because of that. I mean, DragCon, for example, we meet so many young generation of queerness people that are just amazing. And so many allies for our community, you know, like when a
which
parent
takes... Which is insane because used to be like that. I used to feel like on those Alan Chuck cruises, it was like me and Michelle Visage were the only women. Parents weren't there. It was like parents dropped their kids off, but like parents weren't there. Allyship was very different back then.
Right.
It's been amazing to see how the world has changed since season 3 and since we met each other. Right. It's wild.
It is crazy. Honestly, when I went to film Drag Race 3, I was like, I'm going to do this in this small TV channel and nobody will find out. And then I remember they were announcing to us that it was going to air on MTV. Remember? It was like the first time it was going to air at 2 a.m. or something like that.
Did you get scared?
I was like, oh my God, like nothing is going to be the same. I'm going to have to tell my mom. My mom kind of like was difficult understanding drag and being a transsexual.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was so ready for me.
Everyone was, my girlfriends that growing up in San Diego, they were like, so these are they guys you hang out with? Do they dress? Like they didn't understand the art form of it. They didn't understand, like it was... And no one understood anything. No one even understood the terminology. And now 50-year-old white women are saying spill the tea on network television. And it's just mind-boggling to me.
It's a culture shock for everybody. And if you know, drag has been here for the longest. It has always been underground, you know? But it's just so crazy right now that everything is so exposed. Like, I remember telling my mom about being a drag queen. And then my mom called me like 3 days later. And she's like, okay, so now I understand. You're not going to be a girl, but you're going to travel all the time in women clothing. I'm like, no. Where do you learn this? She was like, I just watch To Want Food. And she's like, they drive around the country in drag. I was like, no, mom. I said, okay, no more movies reference. Okay. It's a comedy. I never thought about it that way. You know what I mean?
In the beginning, they get in drag.
They're shaving. They're getting in drag.
But and the pageant, and then there's the pageant.
They drag the entire movie. You know what I mean?
So I bring that up all the time. I bring that up all the time. Like, To Wong Fu, it was like, they didn't have it figured out yet because, like, those women would be trans if the story was real. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and you don't have to be in drag all the time.
I was like, no, mom. You will learn later. Let's just relax. I'm not going to become a woman. I'm not going to show up to the family picnic you know, in full drag and a hat and a convertible. It's not gonna happen.
Here to save the town. You're here to save the town.
To do makeovers and the family reunion. I'm not doing the strawberry
social.
it's sad that back in the day, that was the only thing that my mom could have found.
Well, yeah, there was no drag other related. References. It was too Wong Fu, baby, or like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. But I don't know if they were right. Show. You know, that right. was like you had to track
the
that down.
Cage. The birdcage. Like, it's just weird. It was like weird stories. It probably were true stories, but
they were progressive for the time. Yeah. Like, yes, like shout out to like, yeah, to all of those
everybody.
Movies.
Yeah, because actually they. They were the introduction to the world. Yes, of course. Yeah, it's awesome. And it was a very important detail with my mom. It was like she was always scared of that. But yeah, it's just so crazy now that like everything is so free and so open. And like when I moved to Vegas, we went to this, we have Planet 13 here. It's like a giant mall of weed. They have weed places, bakery, restaurants, everything is weed. So I was like, this shit would have never happened in my time.
No.
You know, like weed all was of drugs it. And drugs was bad. That was it.
Like, yeah, the way we grew up and like just everything, like so much has changed in the past 14 years.
Yes.
And we were kind of like at the brink of it and didn't even realize that we were like being a part of history until now, right. When we like reflect
and it's,
back
and
on
it's
it.
In the straight community as well. Let me tell you how much it's here. I remember when I was 12, reggaeton came out from the underground of Puerto Rico. And it was a DJ called DJ Playero and a DJ D Noise. And they used
reggaeton,
to put this
Sean Paul. Yeah, Sean Paul.
Baby, it was cassette tapes. And they used to sell them. You know, like drugs, like nobody could see you selling this because it was illegal, because it was explicit lyrics on it. And back in the day, that was not allowed. So
isn't that crazy how censored we were?
Yes,
I remember
yeah.
That.
Yeah, I remember I remember saving $5 to go and buy the Playero tape and listening to it. And I remember how the police used to stop you if you were listening to it in the car and confiscate it, give you a ticket, or you get suspended in school and things like that. It was really, really, really bad. And then last year, I turned on the TV and there is Bad Bunny winning the Grammy for something that it was illegal in my time. And not only he won a Grammy, he won the regular Grammy. He was not even in the Latin Grammy. You know what I mean? Like this shit had changed so much since I was hiding in my closet with my Walkman listening to Playero. Like, it was, like, crazy. I was like, okay, so now I can actually sing a song about fucking a girl and a boy, doing a lot of drugs, and win a Grammy. Life is crazy. It's freaking crazy. But, yeah, it is happening. I mean, look at Cardi B. Look at Nicki Minaj. Look at how, like, I remember if you were a woman and you were a sexual dancer, pole dancer or something, you were a whore. Period.
Oh, period.
You were a whore. You were a shame. Your family didn't like you. Blah, blah, blah. Now, hey, music videos. The song about how women have the power to sell her pussy. You know,
it's
like,
taking the power back. It's like taking the power back. And it's so crazy.
And I think that's what I'm going through my life when I said I would love to have more sex. I would like to express myself more. I would like to have more relationships, you know. Like I want a lot more, you know. So it's very that. It's very that. So yeah.
Wow.
Super good things. But I also, now that I'm here in Vegas and I'm in Piranha Nightclub as a cast member, opening
Piranha!
Shows.
I have to come visit you guys.
I love it.
I have a lot
when
of
I tell
memories.
You, anytime
Piranha.
You come, I'm here. I'm actually, because I always wanted to produce shows, I am producing shows in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico now.
I
in
love
a theater.
Puerto
Yeah.
Vallarta.
And that theater called Act 2PB. I have my own show there called Fantastic. It's the story of my life. I have dancers and everything. It's really, really cool. But I also produce in the Privates now with Mariah Valenciaga, Sugar Cane, Jessica Wilde. Like, it's going to be a super fun show the last 2 weeks of May. They are in Puerto Vallarta. I have a very good offer in a very incredible show that is about to open here in Vegas. It's going to be a crazy thing when I reveal this because I am the main character of the entire production. It's going to be an awesome year.
Oh, my God. I'm so proud of you.
You know, we are at the Drag Race on Talk Live Las Vegas Review on Wall Presents starting on the 17th of April. So I'm excited. Lots of things happening. Good shit. Let's just put it like that. Good shit, girl. So I'm excited. Yeah. Moving on.
Oh my God. I'm so proud of you. And right? We've been catching up for over 2 hours. Like, this is wild.
Because I talk a lot of shit. Yeah.
I love it. No, we could keep going. We could keep going, but I have to pee really bad.
There's going to be a second part of this somewhere around.
Yeah, no, I fucking love you so much. It was so great to catch up with you. I think we covered so much good stuff that like old Drag Race fans are going to love, new Drag Race fans are going to love. I think we touched on stuff that like is really relatable to people, like our parents getting older and sex and the good old days of drag. You plugged everything you have coming up. I love you so much. I like to end each episode with you telling me to shut the fuck up. So
Janelle, I love you. You look gorgeous, but girl, shut the fuck up. Shut up, Janelle. I love it.
I love you excited. So much. I'm gonna come visit you. Yes, I'm gonna come visit you in Vegas. If you ever come to LA before I get to Vegas, make sure you call me and we'll plan a ladies to lunch.
Yes. That turns into Ladies at Midnight drunk
at Mickey's.
Very that, especially if we run with Mariah.
It's Mariah.
Things you don't do if you don't want to get wasted in LA, do not hang out with Mariah or Mayhem.
Oh my God. I need to call Mariah on the podcast. I haven't had her yet.
Yes, have her.
I'm calling her as soon as we get off of here.
I love you, Chanel.
I love you so much. Have such a good day. And I will text you after this to tell you how much I love you again.
Bye.
Bye.